Itmar. So the Gemara quotes here on Daf Kuf Ches a whole bunch of Amoraim on each side of the scale. There are those who hold that Efshel Sokto Asur, and those who hold that Efshel Sokto Mutter. And the Gemara really, at this point, comes to no conclusion particularly. It's just a, I guess you call it an open-ended question. So on one side of the equation, the Gemara has Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, that's Efshel Sokto Asur, they have Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish, Efshel Sokto Mutter. What are we talking about? What we want to study this morning is the Shita of the Meiri. And it's brought down here, recorded in the Moreshes Moshe on page Tuf Tzadi. And to our surprise, we have here a very interesting machlokas between the Meiri and other Rishonim. The Ran seems to agree with the Meiri that the machlokas about Efshel Sokto applies straight across the board in all Isurim. It's not limited to Basa V'Cholov, it applies to Nevela as well. However, the Rashbah, the Ravan, and others are of the opinion that the whole issue about Efshel Sokto Asur, Efshel Sokto Mutter, is only in Basa V'Cholov. Aval B'Shar Isurim, Kuli Alma Efshel Sokto Asur. Now this is a Pella. Again, I understand the Ran, the Meiri, that Efshel Sokto Asur applies to Bas B'Cholov and to Shari Surim, and that makes sense. But the other Shita, the Rashbah and others, that Efshel Sokto might be Mutter in Bas B'Cholov and Asur in Shari Surim, we've never found a kul in Basa B'Cholov vis-a-vis Shari Surim. On the contrary, we find Rabbeinu Ephraim who says the Chaticha Nasis Nevela Zechumrin in Basa B'Cholov, it doesn't apply in Shari Surim. Basa B'Cholov is always considered very chomer because it has an Isur Hanoah, an Isur Bishol. You know, it could be the Tam Ki'ikar only applies to Basa B'Cholov, it's a Chidush, so forth and so on. I mean, we always tip the scale of Chumrah in the case of Basa B'Cholov. And now, paradoxically, we have here a Kula in Basa B'Cholov. That in Basa B'Cholov, we're going to say that when the Tarovus of Basa B'Cholov now, in that Chatich, falls into other Chatichas, we're going to say Efshel Sokto Mutter, according to this Mandi Omer. And again, it's three Amoraim in the Gemara that the Rashi was talking about. These are not, It's not a second-rate thing. Efshel Sokto Mutter is, and we're going to say that Dafkin Basa B'Cholov. But in Shari Surim, Kuli Amalo Plugi, even if I hold Efshel Sokto, that's only in Basa Mutter, that's only in Basa B'Cholov. But in Shari Surim, Efshel Sokto is certainly Asur, a Chumra in Shari Surim vis-a-vis Basa B'Cholov. I thought that was a Pella. And in the paragraph at the end of the this Amud, which starts with the words Bebiur Hachiluk Bein Basa B'Cholov Shari Surim, that's exactly what I was hoping for. Can somebody give me an insight why Basa B'Cholov should be Lekula vis-a-vis Shari Surim? We're going to be Machmir, we're going to say Osel Soto Osel. That's what I couldn't figure out. And for this, he quotes the Ravan, he also quotes the Ritva. And I'm trying to figure this out. You know, it's really challenging. He says the following: the Bebasa V'Cholov Sibas Ha'isur Hi Ta'aruvasan Vaschita, which is meant to separate the tarovis of basar and cholov. Mafkia es sibas ha'isur. Masha'enke b'shar isurim sibas ha'isur eina novas mi tarovis. V'alkeina schito lo matiras ha'isur v'eino chozel lehetero. Now, if you read these words and translate them literally, it makes no sense. Because we're talking about nevela that fell into a taroves and was no Saint Tom. So the piece of basar shchuta, basar heter, now became saturated with the tom of nevela. If I can only remove the tom of nevela, then this basar shchuta should be mutter. And now when the basar shchuta falls into another tarovis, and now there is shishim, why not be sochet the tam of nevela balua in this piece of basar and be matir it? Why is it that in basar b'chalav we're talking about an isa tarovis? When we put basar and chalav and we combine them together, and in and again, if Hefshel Sota is able to undo that knot, then everything's mutter. But in Shari Surim, Sibas HaIsur Eina Novas Mi HaTaroves? Well, what does that mean? You mixed the Velo with Basar Shchuta. I mean, that's a Taroves, is it not? They were cooking together. The time of the Velo was Niflat, and it was Nivla in the Basar Shchuta. That's exactly Taroves. If you could separate and remove the tam balua of the vela in the basar shchut, everything should be mutter. I don't understand. So honestly, I worked on this for a while, and that's what I came up with the following. And I wanted to sound it off you. Perhaps what we're saying in this particular school of thought, that Efshel Sota Mutter applies to Basar B'Cholav, but not to Shari Surim, is that Basar B'Cholav is not really Osir in and of itself. In other words, not only is the Basar Heter and the Cholav Heter, but even after you mix them together, they're still Mutter. I mean, that sounds pretty paradoxical. The Torah says it's Osir, right? But what I mean to say is that there's not an absolute Iser in which the Basa turns into a Cheftzad Isura, the Cholav turns into a Cheftzad Isura, but rather it's almost as, you know, it's like a temporary psul, you know, it's like a Mum HaOver in Kahuna, or, well, you have a Kohen Gadol who became Tomei, so for 7 days he can't function as a Kohen Gadol. But he's not possible, you know, there's no Hafkah of the shame Kohen Gadol. In Basar B'Cholav, the Iser is not this new entity, Basar B'Cholav like Nevela. No, 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 Basar B'Cholav is not like Nevela. Basar B'Cholav always remains Heter. It's Heter B'Heter. The Torah prohibits the Taromas. If you could only undo the tarovis, then everything would be mutter. Masha'en came here in the case of basar shchuta that was bolea the tam of nevela, and now we say tam ki ikar. The tam now permeates throughout this chaticha, and it generates an iser in the chaticha. The chaticha becomes asur, asura, mitam nevela. It's called tam nevela, if you will, but it's nevela. Now, since nevela has its own shame isur, and now through the mechanism of tam ke'ikar, I'm going to take that shame isur, the nevela, and I am going to graft it onto the basar shchuta because it was the sinas tam. So now, for all intents and purposes, the basar shchuta becomes nevela. So, for example, if I would say to you, here I have a piece of nevela, can I remove the tam of the nevela and be matir it? You'd laugh me out of the beis medrash, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that nevela is carrying a tam of nevela, and therefore it's also nevela is an iser in the very essence of the basar. You know, it's essential. It's an iser machmas atzmo. What happens through tam ki ikar is that now the basar shchuta that received the tam and absorbed that tam now fits into the shoes, slips into the shoes of the vela, and it has a shame nevela to it. Once it has a shame nevela, forget about taromas. When the iser is simply the taromas, because what I have is head to the head there, and basar b'chol have head to the head, the whole nature of the iser is this mum ha'over, it's this temporary situation in which I have a taromas of basar b'chol. The very moment I can remove that taromas, then there's no basar b'chol. I don't have to be mafkia Hashem. In the case of Tam Ki Ikar, I have to be Mafkir the Shem. It has the Shem Nevela. The Chiddush of Tam Ki Ikar is that it now picks up the Shem Nevela. So what am I going to do? I'm going to remove that Tam? There's no such thing as removing Tam from Nevela. So if I assume that through Tam Ki Ikar, the Heter becomes Osir and picks up that same identical Shem HaIsir, then once the Shem HaIsir is Chal, Efshe Soto Osir means he can't remove the Shem HaIsir. In Basar B'Cholav, it's a contingency because the Iser is not a shame Iser Basar B'Cholav. The Iser is the Taromas of Basar B'Cholav. That's what I think he has in mind over here. He writes, V'chein Kosav HaChavas Das, that's the Baal HaNesivis, D'Bishari Surim, Aflaman D'Yomar D'Lesle Chaticha Nas Nevela, Moda D'Efshel Sokta Osur, Mishum Shekol Shatam Nirgash B'Chaticha. Since the tam penetrated into the chaticha, it's a tam and nirgash, and let's assume it permeates throughout the entire chakira. Haheter nefach li isur. The only thing that bothers me is what does the chavas das mean? That haheter nefach b'isur, but you don't say chanan, you don't say chaticha nas nevela. I would have thought that once we're taking this jump and we're willing to say that the het is nefach li isur, now is a shame nevela to it, then chaticha nas is nevela. But again, I guess he's saying that in Hilchus Bittul, even though the Heter now took on the Shem HaIsur, but nevertheless, that too is generated by the Tam that creates that Shem Isur. If we could remove that Tam, so that's called Bittul. But as far as the Chaticha itself is concerned, Efshe Soto Osur means that It now took on the Shem Isur, and if it takes on the Shem Isur, it's no longer Toli and Taromas. Mashen came as far as the balance of the of this Kedera. There, it's also Midin Taromas, and therefore Bittul should operate. So that's what I got here. Now I have here another paragraph on page Tuf Tzadi Aleph. You have Tuf Tzadi Aleph?
Well, that's in my stuff for the 45 sheer.
Oh, okay, fine. So I'll just read to you a few lines over here. That's all you have to know for our purposes today. And that is the following. It says here on this list of Amoraim that Rav V'Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan Amri Efshel Soto Osu. Now he says the following: B'tam HaDavar. What is the underlying logic of Efshel Soto Osur? Nechleku Rishon. There are two roads, two approaches, and I think this is very relevant to what we were speaking about before, as to whether or not you could hold that Efshel Soto Osur only applies to Shari Surim, according to the Man Yomu holds, then in Basar B'Cholav Efshel Soto is Mutter. Yesh Meharishonim, now he lists Rashi, Kufches Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel Kosovar. So we want to look up that Rashi, which I believe is all the way in the bottom of Kufches Amid Beis.
The last Rashi.
Yeah, but they should kula nasis isur. Yes. So we'll come back to that Rashi in just a minute.
Right there.
and the Ran, and the Ramban and the Ran. The Ramban here is Afanart on this Daf Kuf Chesamid Beis. The Ran is on Mem Gimelamid Beis, Bedapi Arif, that's towards the end of the Perek. You'll find this also in the Magid Mishnah, Machal Sasurus, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud, the Oat, etc. Shem Pirshu, according to this whole school of thought, Kevan Shachaticha Kula Nases Isur, Al Kain Gam Imtama Isur Shenichnas Bo Nischad Viyotze Lopaka Isur. Which means the following. We're not getting into physics here. We're not dealing with chemistry. Can you remove the tam? No. Gam Imtama Isur Nischad. So what's Efshel Soto also? If Tam is, the answer is even though it's Efshel Soto, and even though you can remove the Tam, it's also why? Because Kevan Shenesar Venasis Isur Lo Paka Isure, and that's what Rashi means. And when he says Veshukul Nasis Isur, we cannot remove the shame Isur. And I believe that this school of thinking, this movement amongst the Rishonim, with Rashi, the Ramban, the Ran, the Magid Mishnah, and others, this would support what we suggested earlier, that there's a fundamental difference between Basa Mecholov and Shari Suri, which Basa Mecholov is Lekula, and Shari Suri is Lechumra. Because this principle called Efshel Soto Asur is particularly appropriate for Shari Suri, where the Isur is inherent. The shame Isur is what it's all about. And the Torah defines this as a shame Isur. Once it has the shame Isur through Tam Ki Ikar, then I couldn't care less if you sochet every last drop of Tam Nevela. Once you have a shame Isur, you can't remove the shame Isur. It's like I said before, can you send a piece of the veil to the laundromat and squeeze out its Tam? There's no such thing. Mashenki Bosa Mecholov, where the Shem Isur is the Tarovus itself, the essence of the Isur Bosa Mecholov is not the Shem Isur of Bosa Mecholov. Bosa Mecholov is not Osur, but rather the Tarovus of Bosa Mecholov is Osur. So now if Efshel Soto means that you can actually squeeze out every last drop of milk from the atom of milk from this Tarovus, then you no longer have a Tarovus. Hence the whole picture falls apart, you know, and you don't have Bosa Mecholov. But in Shari Surim, Kevan Dachaticha Kula Nases Isur, and Kula means that the Tam and the Vela spreads throughout this Chaticha, which was a Chaticha Muteres, Nases Isur. And therefore Gam, meaning Afilu, Im Tama Isur Shenichnas Bo Nischad V'Yotze Lo Paka Isure. And on the other side of the school, he has the following Rishonim, he has Tosfos on Kuf Yud Beis, and a Meiri. And he's got a Shulchan Aruch with a Shach and a Gra, and they all say this in the Rashba, that what does Efshel Soto also mean? She'ein ha'isur niflat lagamre. Shalom aleichem. And we're back to chemistry. That you simply can't get the Tam out. It's a very fundamental machlokas here. You know, we always talk in yeshivas about din ha-metzius. You know, is it a legal category or is it a reality? And this is the machlokas about how to interpret Efshel Soto Asur. Is it a legal category that says that Kevan Shenases Chaticha Nevela, therefore once it's Asur you can't remove that Isur, or it's simply a mitzvah that there's no way you can be sochet. Once the Tam was concentrated on that piece of meat, you'll never be able to get it totally out. You know, the Tam will always remain. We called it a vestige of Tam. And this could have a tremendous nafkamina if I hold Efshel Soto
Mutter. Seem to think that you, no matter what you do, you think that this does not remove it entirely.
Completely.
Doesn't matter.
Because Kevin Shenes. And that's a whole new shot in Efshel Soto. And if it was only a Diyuk in Rashi, you know, Shasakti, but it's not just a Diyuk in Rashi, it's a whole slew of Rishonim. So they're not operating with this thing that we cannot extract the Tam. No. He says Beferish, we can extract the Tam. Nevertheless, it remains also. And that teaches us that Tam Ki'ikar really goes way beyond what we think it is. We think that Tam Ki'ikar means that this basa shchut is carrying within it the tam of the velu. No, it's more than that. It's that tam kiker tells me that once the tam penetrates, it changes the nature of the in hilchas isa v'heter, not in physics. It changes the nature of the basa. And the nafkamina is if you do a surgical operation and you squeeze out the tam, it still remains awesome. Fascinating. So that's what I found over here. Now, on the other side of the equation, we have Shmuel, we have Reb Shimon, Reb Shlokish, the Amri, Efshel Soto Mutter. And what does that mean, Efshel Soto Mutter? The Pashtus is that Efshel Soto Mutter means that that chaticha itself becomes Muteris, because in the second Tarovis, you had Bittel, so you remove the Tam, and that's called Efshel Soto Mutter. And the whole Issa is the Tarovas. But we could say that Efshel Soto Mutter only applies to Basar V'Cholov, because the nature of the Issa is the Tarovas. But in Shari Surim, the Tam Ki Iker generates a new Shem Issa, and the Basar Heter is now Nepach Lios Issa, and that Issa you can never remove. So even though Efshel Soto Mutter, according to this whole school of thought, that's Rav Shimon and Reish Lakish, nevertheless that's only in Basar V'Cholov, where the Oser is the Tarovas. Fascinating. That's what I found here. Okay, so Rabosai, what do we have here on the agenda today? We have Chal, right? That's going to be our new topic over here. We started it last week, but we only scratched the surface. So we're on the bottom of Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, moving on to Kuf Tes Amud Beis. And it's interesting, there's the primary subject of this Mishnah, and then the Mishnah sort of goes on a little bit of a tangent to another subject, because there's a certain great similarity and yet compare and contrast between the Reish and the Sefer. The Reish is Chal, which is called the Dad Shel Behema, and after the Shechita, the Dad is full of Cholov. It's got a natural full saturation of milk inside of it. The chal itself is basar, and the milk within it is chalav. But he finds this chalav inside the chal after shechita, and that's critical. Why? Because although chalav that's removed from the animal's body during its lifetime is chalav, and therefore when it's cooked with gedi, it becomes basar v'cholov. That's not true with regard to the chalav that's removed from the body of the animal after shechita. Why? Because after shechita, we have what's called eina ra'uya lios em. So the drasha that Chazal are going to quote, not on this stuff, but a little bit later on in the perek, is that chalav imo only refers to the chalav of an animal that's ra'uya lios em. But in the case of a shchuta, since the chalav is now the chalav of shchuta, it doesn't have a din of chalav. That's really interesting. Again, it's another example of din versus metzias, because it's biologically, chemically, it's the same identical chalav that we could have taken out 1 second before the shchuta. But since we removed it from the body of the cow after the shchuta, well, guess what? With the shchita, the animal is not considered an aim, because it's not Ruya Leo's aim. Its status has changed, and its chalav now is not chalav imo. That's only on a deraisa level. However, we're going to see later on in this perek that the chazal are going to prohibit chalav shchuta. Maybe because they think that, you know, if you start messing around, you know, start differentiating between this chalav and that chalav, it's going to be a whole confusing situation. So chalav shchuta is mutter min haTorah, ein lo din chalav, and it's asur midrabbanan. So now, if this be the case that the Rabbanan prohibited the chalav of shchuta, then what we do is after we remove the chal, which is now saturated with chalav, and that chalav is now also midrabbanan with basar, then we can't just simply cook the the chal with its milk, so what we have to do instead is called kriya. So we have to cut the chal, and that's what the Mishnah says, koro umotzi es chalavo. So there shouldn't be any chalav that's mixed into this chal, and if you cook it, you're cooking basically basar and chalav. But again, keep in mind, we're only talking about chalav derabbanan. Now again, would this chalav generate, for example, an iser hanah? If let's say you took chalav of shchuta and you extracted it, and you collected it in a pitcher or in a pot, and then you pour into the pot basar and you cook it together, would it be asur hanah? Can I feed that to my dog? So we once had a discussion about basar of becholav at the beginning of the parak. Of course, there's one shita that basar of becholav is only derabbanan. That seems to be the way Shulchan Aruch paskins. Would it be mutar b'hano or not? Because when the derabbanan created isur basar becholav, how far do they go? Do they just set up an isur achila, or they take the whole kit and caboodle? You're not allowed to cook it. You're not allowed to benefit from it. So that's going to be an issue. Fine. Now, what happens b'di'eved if he cooked the chal without cutting, slicing the chal and removing its chalav? So you and I would have said that in that case, since chalav shchuta is also in Rabbanan, then he blew it, as we would say. He messed up. And everything should be also on the Drabana level, at least, you know, no different than Basov Bechol. So the Mishnah uses a very strange language. It says, Lo Kra'o, and that means instead of cutting it, he cooked it as is, in its natural state, saturated with Chalav. Eino Over Olav. And we don't know exactly what Eino Over Olav means. But let me present to you one Shita, which Rashi later on is going to explain, and that is that since the chalav is muvla bebasar hakchal velo piresh mimenu klal is afal pishel lechatchila chayv lekros hakchal lehotzi eschelbo aval b'dieved lo osru chachamim below crow. Again, this is one opinion. And Eino Overall of therefore means that it's you're not even inhibited, you're not even enjoined from eating it. It's mutter to eat it. Yeah, that sounds like a radical view.
Because that's it's not like the kavachomer that you can't eat it. If you said you had to do kriya beforehand to get rid of the milk, and even then you couldn't eat it. And now you're telling me that I can eat it.
So it works like this. As long as I could do kriya, and it's a possibility, I'm obligated to do kriya. But if I can't do kriya because I cook it, then it's mutter. So Rashi says, why is it mutter? So Rashi says, because it was never poresh from the chal. So if I took the cholov out of the chal, or for that matter, if I found cholov anywhere inside the animal's body after shechita and I cooked that with meat, the rabbanu would aser it. But the rabbanu never asered it if it was always muvla in the chal. Meaning he didn't do kriya and he cooked it as is. So I'm just telling you, be aware of this Rashi, because it's going to come up over and over again in this sugya, that it's muvla and it was low pirish klal. Now the Mishnah goes on a tangent, but something that's very parallel, and that's going to be lave. Now, when we talk about the lave, obviously the lave is it's a part of the animal, it's a muscle which is so saturated with dam. But we're talking about the lave of an oaf. Now, this may surprise you, because what we're going to see is, again, just as we saw in the case of chal, that koro, but if lo koro, everything's mutter, so too in the case of lev, koro, and lo koro, eino overall. So Shtel Zechvar was saying to ourselves that you have a lev that's saturated with dam, and you cook the dam in the lev without removing the dam. He should have removed it, he didn't. Is there no overlap? How could that be? So the answer is oaf. Why? Because oaf has a very small heart, as opposed to an animal. A cow could have a large heart. And the amount of dam, the volume of dam that's in the lave of an oaf is pachos mikishir. It's less than a kizayis. Does that make you happy? Well, we have a sugya at the end of Yuma. Who remembers? The famous sugya of Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Excellent. Chatzishir. We pass like Rav Yochanan. That Chatzishir is also in the Torah. So what's going on in our Mishnah? You're telling me that the lev only has a minimum amount of dam in it, and therefore it's less than a kizayis. So, you know what? Get rid of the dam, korol. But b'di'evet, if you cooked it without getting rid of it, you're allowed to eat it. What happened to the Isser of Chatzishir in the Torah?
It's not in the Torah. It's in the Rabbanah.
And therefore what? Are you allowed to eat it or not?
So Mistam, you might be allowed to eat it because the same sheet, because if you say Chatzishir doesn't, Chatzishir is Midaraisa, but we don't say Chatzishir is Midarabana. We never pass in Chatzishir.
Well, Reish Lakish holds, but we hold like Rav Yochanan. Chatzishir also in a Torah. You can allow me to eat this.
But it's not a Chatzishir.
Why not?
The shir is Midarabana shir, not a Torah shir. I mean, the Isser is Midarabana and not Midaraisa.
What, lev?
The lev. Of the chicken.
The lev is doraisa. The only problem is it's less than a shear.
Of the chicken also? Be the Torah?
Sure. Dam is dam. If you had a big oaf, you know, that had a full kezias worth of dam in its lev, then for sure you'd be in violation of an isa. So this is what we're going to say now, that in the Sefer, when it says Eino over olav, in the case of lev, it doesn't mean what you think it is, that you're allowed to eat this. It just means that we can't hold you responsible for violating the lav itself. Why? Because the lav can only be violated by eating a kezias dam. But you didn't eat a kezias dam. But for sure you're not allowed to eat. But that's going to be a problem, because in the Reisha we said that Eino over lev means he's allowed to eat the chal. And Rashi gave a whole explanation because it's balua and it wasn't porridge. So he says the following. I'm just going to read to you this note. He summarizes a lot of Rishonim here. He says, "Believe shebishlo lo kriya." So he went ahead and he cooked the lev without removing its dam. Yeshnam shnei nidonim. There are two issues that we have to address. Issue number one: Ma'adin badam shenoservo gamli achar abishul. And two: Ma'adino shel basar alev ha'im nesar machmas adam shenivlebo. So Rashi holds that hadam atzmo osum in a Torah v'yesh b'achiloso chiyuv kares. V'lo pocha mishnah el lev shel ov she'ein shir kizayis l'chayvo b'domo. Okay, fine. So again, the first nidon that in our mishnah is what's the status of the dam inside the lev, and the answer is according to Rashi that's dam that's awesome in a Torah, but the Mishnah patters you up here because you're not chayv unless you eat a kezayis, and here you need a kezayis. Fine. What about the lev itself, meaning the basara lev? Is Rashi holds, listen carefully, she'ein bo kol iser, that the lev itself is mutter. Now normally if you have dam, which is also in a Torah with an iser kares, if you cook something in dam, that basar becomes also mitzad the tam ki ikar. It's bolea the dam. But says Rashi, the exception to the rule is lev. Why? He says the following: Le'inyan basar lev, Rashi says ein bo iser. Why? Mipnei shalev chalaku v'eino bolea sadam. Okay, look, we'll accept it on a level of physics, you know, on chemistry. We're not experts. But Rashi says that the nature of lev is very unique. It's chalak. And therefore, ainu bolea sadam. So even though you cook the lev with dam in it, the basar halev remains mutter because there's no belia of dam. That's the shita of Rashi. He says, "I will das atosis lehepuch." Tosis says the exact opposite. That dam should be shlow, since he cooked the dam, ein bo isu Torah. Maybe Osher, that's what you were hinting at before. I don't know, but Tosis shita is that once you cook the dam, then there's no isu. I mean, for that we'd have to learn the sugi of dam. Lachen hadam di atzmo ein bo isu Torah. Fine. Avol basar alev asur ledaitam. Why? Mipneisha basar bolea min adam. Not the way Rashi said it's chalak and it's ain't a bolea. Tosus holds that the basar of lev, like any other basar, is bolea, and it's bolea dam. The ain't anu omrim shall lev chalak vein a bolea. So wait a second. It's very interesting that according to Tosfos, once he cooks the lev, the dam itself is dam shebishlo, right? And ein bo isu Torah. He has a note here from the Chasam Sofer that this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about dam shebishlo. What's the status of dam shebishlo? Is a machlokas in Masechta Menachos between Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Chof Aleph. So if we really would want to learn the sugi of Dam Shebishlo, we'd have to learn Menachos Daf Chof Aleph. On. Now, Basar Alev, according to Tosfos, is going to be Asur. But again, Basar Alev is going to be Asur if he cooked it because it has a blia of dominant. Not like Rashi holds that the lev is chalak ve'eno bolea, but what kind of dam does the lev have in it? Dam shebishlo. So even though Tosfos would say that you're not allowed to eat the lev, but that's only midrabbanan, because Tosfos shita is that dam shebishlo is only midrabbanan. So let's just summarize. According to Rashi shita, the dam itself is awesome. It's awesome in a Torah. However, you're not chayav kares or malchus because dam shel of is less than a shear. As far as the basar is concerned, the basar of the lev is mutter, and it's not even awesome in rabbanan because it's not bolea dam. Tosfos, on the other hand, says the lev is bolea dam, and therefore the lev is awesome. However, we have to know that dam shebishlo is only midrabbanan, and therefore, when we say that the lev is also because it was bolea dam, that's only on a derabbanan level.
What's the? I mean, the lev has dam in it already. So what's with that in general?
Okay. Right. So the lev, if you cut the lev before you cook it, do you get rid of all its dam? Then you're fine, take the lev and enjoy it.
This says Kriya by lev also.
Right, that's the safe of our Mishnah, right?
That's lev also.
Yeah. That was the jump off point between the Reish and the safe. You know, that so just like we said in Chal, you cut it and get rid of the Cholav, here, so lev, you cut it and you get rid of the Dam. But now he went ahead and he cooked it without Kriya. So now, what's the status of the Basar? Rashi says you can eat the Basar of the lev.
Once you do Kriya.
No, he didn't do Kriya. And he cooked the lev. Rashi says you're allowed to eat the basar of the lev. Why? Because the lev is not boleh. It's a new propensity, a new description of a part of the animal which is unique. It's not boleh. It's impervious to bleer. So go ahead and eat the lev. You know, have, say, gezuteh.
I guess
you
know. I'm confused. How does that take care of the dam that was already in the lev? The lev had dam to begin with.
Correct. So when he cooks it, and he wants to eat the lev, there's no dam in the lev. Now, if you isolate the dam, so Rashi would hold that dam is also with the rice with the isakaris, but it's less than a shear. So since it's less than a shear, is you're not in violation of the isakaris, let's say. You know, whether it's the rice or not, it's Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan at the end of Yom. Tosis says on the other end that the lev is bolea. But the only thing is, keep in mind, says Tosis, that the lev is bolea dam mevushal. And dam mevushal is not osim in Torah, it's only osim in Rabbanim. So Rashi holds that this dam is also with the rice. So if you isolate the dam, let's say this dam in the bottom of the pot, that dam is also been a Torah. It's less than a shear because it's only lev of oaf, which is less than a shear. The lev itself is mut because it's not boleh. So go ahead and cook the lev and enjoy it. Tosa says that the lev is going to be awesome because it is boleh, but Tosa says it's only Rabbanah because dam shev bishlo is only the Rabbanah. That's what we have in this thing. So let's take a look at the Gemara here. Omar Rabbi Zera on the top of Kuftes Amid Beis. Omar Rabbi Zera Marav Chal Sheh Bishlo. So he went ahead and he cooked it, and it's saturated with milk. Is Eino over Olav? Zot Rabbi Zera in the name of Rav Mutter. You can take the Chal, which is cooked chal without removing its yicholav, and eat it. Why? Because again, on a deraisa level, it's not called chalav because it's basa shchuta, behema shchuta. On a drabbanan level, it should be considered chalav. The answer is it was muvla bechal. It was never parish mimkoma. So when did the rabbanan say that chalav of a shchuta is asur? Only when it's removed from its original state. It's what we call parish mimkoma. But if it wasn't parish mimkoma, and it's balua inside the chal, that's not, even on a derabbanan level, that's not considered a chalav. Now, there's a long discussion here, which I'm not sure if we're going to get into today, or maybe we'll save it for tomorrow, about the difference between bishel and sli. It could be that what our Mishnah says, lo kro, he didn't cut it, the next few words I'm missing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say, so what did he do? So we've been assuming that he cooked it. So many Rishonim are going to say, no, he roasted it. Roasted chal. Because then what's going to happen is that it's going to draw out the chalav. But bishul might be also. So that's going to be a gigantic issue, which I'd like to postpone till tomorrow. Bishul versus sli. So the Gemara asks the obvious question about not any over all of. Whenever we see the language in the Mishnah over a law, it means mevar hu d'lov ha'isura ika. The implication is that he's not allowed to eat this chal. So the Gemara says, bedinu d'isura nami leka. In truth, he's allowed to eat the chal, according to Abzer in the name of Rav. You'll ask me, so why did the Mishnah say, ain't over all? The Mishnah said, it should have said, mutu li'ochlo. Aydi d'boi l'misli seifa. This is one of those Ivy cases, that since he wants to create a symmetry between the Reish and the Seifa, and in the Seifa, he's going to have to tell us that Cholav, Halev, Shekorah, Motzias, Tovolo, Kro, Eno, Overlov, Hosam, Mi'evar, Hudlo, Ovar, Har, Isura, Ika. The Mishnah wants to tell you that if you didn't cut the Lev and you cooked it as is, with its Dam, you're not allowed to eat that Lev. And again, here we have Machlokas, what that means. According to Rashi, what it means is that you're not allowed to eat the dam of the lev. According to Tosus, you're not allowed to eat the lev itself, because Tosus holds the lev is bolea the dam. But in any event, the Mishnah had to use the language holo, eino overall. The Mishnah couldn't have said it's mutal achila, because that's not really true. It's not mutal achila. And according to Tosus, even the lev itself, the basa lev, is also achila. It's Tananami Resha Eino Overall. To make it symmetrical, so he uses the same phrase in the Resha Eino Overall, but really in the case of Chal, there will be an Issur Drabbanan. And why is there. I'm sorry, I maybe made a big mistake. But in the case of Chal, there's not even an Issur Drabbanan, that's what I meant to say. And you're allowed to eat the Chal. Why? Because the Chol was not Poresh, and as long as it's muvla bekhal, the Rabbanan don't give it a shame cholav. Even with the Rabbanan, it's not. They were only machmir after it was poresh, then it's considered cholav midrabbana. Lema mesayele. Do we have a brisa that supports Rav? Hakchal koro umotzi es chalavo lo kro'o eno over olav. Eno over olav. So far I don't see where the raya is to support Rav. Rav says lo kro'o, you're allowed to eat it. What is the proof here? So we go on in this place. The Brisa says, "Halev koro umotzi es damo lo kro'o koro liachar bishulo umuta." So it works like this: what happens after bishul? He omitted the kriya before bishul. He was a bad boy, and he went ahead and he cooked it without kriya. So the Mishnah sets up a very sharp. The Brisa sets up a very sharp contrast between Chal and Lev. Let's start with Lev. We'll go backwards. The Sefer of this Brisa says that in the case of Lev, if he omitted the Kriya before the Bishul, then he's obligated in Kriya Liachar Bishul, and only then is it Mutar. Lev who deboy Kriya, meaning the Brisa requires Kriya in the case of Lev, even after Bishul, meaning he omitted the Kriya before Bishul, so he now has to make amends, and he's got to do the Kriya after Bishul. But in the case of Chal, lo boy Kriya, the Brisa clearly indicates that he doesn't have any obligation to cut it up. So just like in the case of Lev, after Bishul, it's going to be Mutter, but only on the condition that he does a Kriya, and he gets rid of all the Dam, but then it's Mutter. The Brisa wants to tell me in contrast, in the case of Chal, you don't even need a Kriya Liachar Bishul. Before Bishul, you had to do the Kriya. But if you didn't, then B'dieved, you're okay. And it's Mutter even though there's no Kriya. So the Gemara says, nay, that's not approved. Dilma, perhaps, what the Brisa has in mind is that Lev who desagile b'Kriya. That what's unique about Lev is that even though he was Mavashel, the Lev, without the Kriya, he left out the Kriya, but nevertheless, all he needs in order to fix up his mistake and remove the Dam is a Kriya Liachar Bishul. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell me. But in the case of the Brisa, I'm sorry. Amal Chal, in the case of Chal, where he did the Bishul and he omitted the Kriya, is lo sagile b'Kriya. The Kriya won't be effective. Why? Rashi explains, Rachu kfar bolach cholav b'shasa Bishul. That it could be that because the chal is very soft, it's able to be bolea the chalav, such that even if you cut the chal, you're not going to be able to remove the chalav. But in the case of lev, since lev is, as we said before, is very, very smooth, and in such a way, it's tough but smooth, so there, it's not bolea, meaning all you need is kriya, and that's going to be enough to get rid of all the dam within it. But in the case of Chal, because the nature of Chal is so soft, it's absorbent, and therefore it's bolea. Once it's bolea b'shas bishul, you're not going to be able to get rid of that cholav simply through kriya. So at this point, we conclude what we call the Lishna Kama of Rav. And the Lishna Kama of Rav says that Chal b'di'eved, if he went ahead and he cooked it, or we'll have to talk about roasting it, and he did not do Kriya, he's allowed to eat it. Now we have a second, which is the Lishna Basra. Ika Diamri, according to another version, Amarav Zeir Amarav. In the case of Chal Shebishlo Lo Kriya, and the Mishnah says, Lo Kra, Eino Overall of Ve'asur. Not the first Girsa that says, Mutter, but the second Lishna says it's also. It means, although Chal is not also in our Torah, because as we said over and over again, the Chalav is not categorized as Chalav according to the Torah law, but nevertheless the Rabbanan prohibited the Chalav of a Shkuta, and therefore if he went ahead and he was Mavashel the Chal without removing the Dam, then it's also midrabbanon. He can't eat the chal, and that's what it means. Eino overal. In other words, don't think there's a violation of basa b'chal doraisa here, because the shchuta it's not doraisa, but it is midrabbanon.
So does this chal transfer? I mean, if I have this chal, if I cook the whole chicken with the chal in it, or a whole blav, if I cook the whole chicken with it, does it transfer to the rest of the chicken?
Chal, by the way, is not in a chicken. Chal is in a baby.
Lay for the chicken and the.
So let's take the case of chal according to the Lishna Basar of Rav. Chal now, if he didn't remove the chalav, becomes basar b'chol of midrabbanan. And what happens if you cook basar b'chol of midrabbanan? Like we spoke about this when we talked about basar b'chol of in another kedera. And the time of the basar b'cholov now goes into the other kedera, so that would depend upon efshel soto asur muta. Let's say we hold efshel soto asur, then everything would be asur. And add to boot chaticha nasis nevela. Oh, but then we had a whole discussion whether chaticha nasis nevela applies to the rabbonans. And don't ask me to repeat that now because okay. I'd have to. There were so many different shittas right. On that. Now, in the case of Lev, Tosis holds that the dam is only Drabana. So again, now we get back to the question of, you know, an Easter Drabana in the Taros, which again, I assume would generate Tam Kikar on a Drabana level. If you hold like Rashi, the dam is also Midoraisa. So now we have to ask ourselves the question, what fell into the second Kedera? Was it just the Lev? Or was it the Lev with the dam? Because Rashi holds that the Lev itself is not Bolea the dam. So if you can take out the lev and it's not fully in the dam and cook it in another tarovis, then according to Rashi's shita that would be fine. But according to Tosa's shita that the lev is bolea, although it's dam shavishlo, it's only drabanan. But according to Rashi, let's say you put the lev into a pot, and now as a result of bishul, there's a plate of dam, and the dam goes into the bottom of the kedera. Let's say it's a behemoth, a labor of behemoth. So there's a massive amount of dam on the bottom. Then you would throw something into that dam and cook it, then it would be also benosei dam. Lema misayele. Now we have a brisa which would support the Lishna Basra. Actually, the Lema Misayele here is not like the Lema Misayele earlier on this Amud. Here, the Lema Misayele is a quote from that Mishnah itself. Because what does the Mishnah say in the case of Lo Krov? It says, Eino over Olav, implying Mevra Delo Olav HaYisur Eika. He does violate an Issa Drabanan, which according to Rav is absolutely the case. Because once he's Mevashalid, the Cholav generates an Easter of Basar B'chol Midrabbanan. Again, always I'm emphasizing, despite the fact that Chol of Behemah Shchuta is not Doraisa, it's only Midrabbanan, and you're not allowed to eat it. Nate says, well, it's no Raya. The Dinu, the Easter of Nami Lekha. Actually, the Chal that he didn't cut it and he ate and he cooked it, there's no Easter Midrabbanan as well. The ID the boy the misnay safe I'll leave Koramotsi is double low cry no overall of a hossam ever udlova isuri ika is tananami reshe no overall. So it's the same ID that we had before, that really it's mutter, like the first lishon of Rav, but he can't use that language because he needs to parallel it to the case of Lev where it would be also. Toshma. Now the Gemara asks Akasha from a brisa on Rav. Hakhal koro umotzi es chalovo velokro eno over olav. Wow, that's a so far repetition of our Mishnah. I wouldn't add any extra raya here for Rav from that, or even Akasha from Rav. Oh, so let's see the sefer. Remember the sefer: Lev Koro Motzi Es Damo Lo Koro Koro Liachar Bishulo Umuter. So in the case of Lev, Kriya is meaningful, and it's Matir. Levu de boy kriya, volkhal lo boy kriya. Ah, it would seem, and this is what we brought as a rav for the first Lishnei Rav, that in the case of Khal, you don't even need, there's no Isser whatsoever if you cooked it without kriya. And the Gemara rejects it. Dilma, levu de sagi lebe kriya, avolkhal lo sagi lebe kriya. That what the Brisa means to tell us is that whereas in the case of lev, there's such a thing as kriya liachar bishul, and that's meaningful to get rid of the dam. In the case of chal, kriya is not going to be meaningful. As we said before, the nature of chal is that it's very soft and is bolea. Once the chalav is nivla in the chal, then it's already osur and you cannot do a kriya after the bishul. Kriya will be meaningless. Tanya Kalishna Kama de Rav. We have one brisa like the first Lishna of Rav, that Khal be the Evid if he didn't kore his mutter. Khal she bishlo, meaning Ovar bishlo bechalavo, mutter. Avalkeva she Ovar bishlo bechalavo, osur. So we'll get back to Keva in just a minute. Umay hefrish bein zela ze konus b'meyov, v'ze eno konus b'meyov. So this is a brisa that will support the lishna kama of Rav, because it says that chal shebishlo bechalovo, in other words, chalovo means without kriya, is mutter. Now this brisa tells us that, in contrast, we have the case of keva. So we're talking about either an egel or a tle, right, a calf or a lamb. And after the shechita, we find milk. And this is the milk that apparently this calf nursed from its mother during its lifetime. And the brisa says, Ovar ubishla bechalava, if he didn't remove the chalav from the keva of the egel or the tle, then everything is asur. And the Bryce explains, what's the difference between the case of chal and the case of keva? The case of keva is kanus b'meyav. So what does this kanus b'meyav mean? So I'm going to read to you the interpretation here. Kvar yotza b'chaya b'hema midodeha v'nichnas v'nesaf b'me'e b'na u'kfar chalalav shem chalav min ha-Torah le'inyan iser basar b'cholav. So in the case of keva, we have to be more careful. And we're going to be more machmir. Why? Because we're dealing with chalav da'oraisa. Because what happens? The calf nurses from its mother's milk, and that milk is chalav da'oraisa, and it's included on the bus of chalav da'oraisa.
Where is the milk? Is
it the milk is in the belly of the calf.
Already in the belly, yes.
Right. So even though we shechted the calf, and now we find the milk, and you would say it's basa shchuta, and that's only derabanan, chalav shchuta, right? No, this is chalav da'oraisa because the chalav went out of the mother's body when the baby, when the calf, the suckling baby took the milk out, and the milk now landed in its belly. So even though we find the milk, we discover it inside the belly, we know that it was poresh from the mother bechayeha, meaning from the animal during its lifetime. So at that point, it gets a shame chalav as far as basa b'chalav, because it's ruya lios aim. What do I mean by ruya lios aim? In other words, the mother cow, when she nursed the child, right, this calf, she was alive and well, right? She was Ruilios aim, and at that very moment, the chalav already takes on a status of chalav as it moves from the body of the mother into the body of the calf. In contrast, we have the case of chal is ein kanus b'meyav. In other words, there was no moment in time in which this chalav left the dadim or the chal. So it was never collected in one particular place. It was always, always muvla in the basar chal. And if the chalav is always muvla, the basak chal, then it doesn't have a chal shem chalav as far as the Torah law is concerned. And therefore there's no chiv kri on this chal. It's only l'chadchila mirabana. So this is a brisa that would support Rav, that chal shebishlo, if you cook the chal without kriya, eino oser be'achila. That's what it says, mutter. Why did the brisa say mutter? Because this chal and the chalav within it is chalav muvla, has it has the status, shall we say, of basar, not the status of chalav, even on drabana level, because it was always muvla, as opposed to the case of keva, where the animals, the suckling animal, took the chalav from its mother's dad, and once the chalav leaves the dad and enters into the belly of the calf, it's already considered chalav. And as far as the rice is concerned, if you were to cook it with basar, you would be over on basar b'cholav d'oraisa. So let's make a note of where we got up to. Thank you so much. And B'l-Nedr, we'll continue tomorrow.